Hello, you inmates in the asylum. This is Jay Nimrod. You're listening to Quasi Indefatigable's Nentalist. And today, hey, I'm talking about God. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about all those things that make my life worthwhile. Perhaps they'll make yours that way too. A lot of people think of these MP3 files strictly as an attack on institutionalism. You know, tell you to pull away from the institutions. And I'm not saying that that's not true. But there's a reason why you need to. There's a reason why you need to. There's a reason why that I bring this stuff up all the time. It's because God told us to be independent. Of all things under heaven, don't be constrained by other things. It's dangerous to be beholden to an institution. One can't serve God and mammon, and that's kind of... And I know mammon's described in many ways, money or power or any number of things. In this context, I guess you could say it's an institution. You can't worship God in an institution. My own personal faith in God is very, I think, very, very simple. I am, of course, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Told you that before. I can't say that I'm... I hate these terms of derogatory to others. I can be really critical, and one of my hopes is that at least in these recordings, I'm not. I don't like being very much like I see other people being with their churches. I really don't understand why many people go to church, because the reasons that they do don't make any sense to me. It's like a checkbox for them, that there's a list of things to do that good people are supposed to do, and one of them is to go to church on Sunday. So you check that off and everything's fine. And I've always been troubled by that. I've never gone... No, I can't say that. Sometimes I've gone to church just because I always go to church. But more often than not, no, I don't do that. I don't just go to church because that's what I'm supposed to be doing on Sunday. I go for specific reasons. I guess one of them would be, it depends on which religious tradition you come from. Let's say you're Christian, there's about five different ways of talking about the sacrament. There are so many sacraments in some denominations that I guess I better be more specific. A lot of people call it the Lord's Supper. We just call it simply the sacrament. It's where they do what Christ did at the Last Supper, which was break bread and bless it and give it to each person. And then take wine and bless it, send it on each person. We do it with water. That's one of the big reasons for going to church, is to receive that ordinance. It has a cleansing. It is constant show of devotion to God and to Christ. Two separate people in my thing. Although I will get that later. Right. That's one of the main reasons why I go to church, is to do that, to show my devotion to God and my in my devotion to trying to be a Christian, trying to follow Christ, do what Christ wants me to do. It's one of the things he's asked to do, so I try to do it. Also, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints could be easily described as being very spiritualist. Now, I've been accused of being that, and I use the term accused because that's exactly how it's put forth to me. I had some acquaintances who are Jehovah's Witnesses, and we tried a cultural exchange. I can't say I was very kind to them, and it wasn't nice at all. And I'm sorry for the fact that it wasn't nice, but I was just frustrated by their beliefs. But you know, that was one of their things. They were saying that that spiritual experiences that I had were essentially evil. It was essentially the devil tricking me. And I guess that's the basis of a lot of attacks on my church, commonly called the Mormon Church. So all of a sudden, if you thought that this was something just real, you know, if there's just something about what would be considered a mainline church, yeah, I bet you're very disappointed now, and you're saying, oh, well, now I'm not going to ever listen to Jay Nemro again, because he is absolutely freaking nuts. Because he belongs to a church full of nutty people that believe in some nuts that lived in the 1800s, and he can't possibly be an intelligent person. Now, I don't care how much I listened to him before and thought some of his things made some sense, but now I can't. And there's a lot of people that do that. It's almost like a built-in sort of, dare say, let me call it an institutional attitude about Mormons. I am a Mormon. I'll freely say it. And anybody who says that I am a fool, what do those guys usually say? That I've been hoodwinked, that I'm being used by evil people in Salt Lake City who just want all my money so they can be rich and swarthy. That I'm sorry. That's offensive to me. And a lot of people say it, whether they say it to your face or they think it in your head, that's exactly what they're kind of doing. And it really, deeply, deeply offends me that people think that because I'm a Mormon, I'm an idiot, I'm a fool, and that I'm going to hell. That's just, don't ever say that in my presence. If you ever meet me, and you know me from my MP3s, don't ever do that, because I'll just turn or walk away, because I'm sorry. We can't even have an intelligent conversation because you've already determined it because of this one thing that I am an untrustworthy fool. And I'm not going to sit there and try to debate that kind of stuff. And I don't usually debate with Christians what they say. And that's a kind term to give them, I think, Christians. The only kind term I've been able to give them that I think is really honest is creedists. They're people that their main belief system isn't based on Christ. It's only based nominally upon the Bible, and its biggest belief system is based on a tradition that has no basis from the Bible, strictly speaking. Not there. You know, it's plucked from the Bible. There's passages of Scripture. Sometimes we refer to it as the philosophies of men mingled with Scripture. and their biggest thing is the Nicene Creed. You know, they have this picture that the only decent Christian, the only true Christian, is one that adheres by something that was put together in the 4th century. It was put together by 4th century Catholics. And it's interesting how much Protestants just cling to this. And I think they use it primarily as a shield against faiths like Mormonism. And it's sad. It's sad because you can easily pick out instances where, you know, like the whole nature of God question, the whole question of grace versus works, which really isn't a question. It's both grace and works. Why do you think the apostles, why do you think Christ brought up both? Why do you think Christ's major the parables that he told were mostly about things we were supposed to do, not things that we were supposed to, you know. Grace indicates nothing. Grace indicates that God loves you and he's going to lift you up. Of course, it's indicative that it says in the scriptures that God will raise up some and not others. And so what's the criteria? Is there any criteria? What kind of God is this that just kind of, what is this, a lottery? Does God just shoot the dice and say, you get saved, shoots the dice, you don't get saved? What is that? What kind of God is that? Why on earth should you be worshiping him if that's your concept of God? And I know it's far beyond that most of these creedists have worked out a whole system, and they have spent a lot of time and effort and thought in putting this stuff together to make something that's essentially ungodly sound, or at least appear on the surface to be godly. And it's worrisome to me, and that's why when people go, you need to join our church because we have a true religion and you're being confused, I look at what they offer me, and I look at what the Mormon Church teaches, and there's no comparison. Who on earth would want to be a creedist when you can be a Mormon? There's one very interesting thought I really wanted to bring up here there's a policeman that just came over here. I'm in construction area, so I'm nervous. Let me calm down here, because he's not going to stop me. He's gone to the other side looking at people coming off of construction. He's not looking at me. And I'm really trying to be obedient here. In the times I have talked with creedists about what they... Let's take, for instance, the most important thing, their concept of heaven. It's the thing that we're working toward, the thing that we're doing. Why on earth would we follow Christ unless there was something decent on the other side? He always spoke of focusing on treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth. Well, what exactly are these treasures going to be? Most creedists don't have a clue. The Bible really doesn't speak of it. It is alluded to that it's going to be very nice. It's going to be all great. And I believe that. Now, the LDS Church, through other scripture that our prophets have been given, we have a little clearer view of how things are going to be, at least who's going to go where. you know, the kind of criteria. It still doesn't say a lot about how it's going to be, you know, and actually, I think Kriyas have a pretty firm grasp of the fact that it's beyond our comprehension. We can't know. That's a simple kind of cop-out sort of an answer, but, you know, it's really the only one anybody has, because God really has spelled out exactly what's going to happen. At least in the scriptures that I know of through the Mormon Church, we at least have a concept of what we'll be doing or what we'll be allowed to do and what the clientele is going to look like. Kriyas get very, 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 very upset about our concept of God and about what God wants to accomplish and what we can be. It's most Kriyas think that we're being blasphemous in saying that we can be like God. And they almost say it as if we manufactured this and that we can force God to turn us into something like Him. Or as if we could do it ourselves. It's almost as if they look at it that way. And that's part of their anger over us, is how unhumble we are. And honestly, I didn't come up with it, and no prophet came up with it. God, it's God's idea. That's why we're His children. You know, people always spout the word, we're the children of God. We, la 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 la. God is our Father. But they almost, Kriyas almost look at it as almost like what's a good word for it? It's just a figurative thing. He's not really our Father. They almost reject Scripture that we are really created in His image. And that's exactly what it said. That's exactly what it means. We look like, we are like God. But that's almost a rejected thing among the Kriyas. We can't do that. To even suggest that we can be like God because we're actually created after Him in His image is blasphemy. And I don't comprehend that. That doesn't make any sense. You know, that's almost like, oh no, you can't ever say stuff like that, even though it's just by logic, it's almost obvious once you think about it, and you go, oh, of course. We're His children. Someday we can grow up to be like Him. And they go, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. Well, then what's the point of God even having us? Are we just His playthings? Did He decide to sit down and craft strictly out of clay man and mess around with spirits and stuff like that simply for His entertainment? What was the point? Why did Christ even come down here and do any of this stuff? What did He do that for? What, is God just playing chess with everybody? And all that, of course, Christians all just say, oh, blasphemy, blasphemy, blasphemy! But I'm sorry. It's almost like they say, don't think about this stuff, just believe. And someday it'll make some sense. And you go, no, God, I don't think God behaves that way. I think He wants us to understand these things. He wants to add to our knowledge. And when we constantly close our ears and go, no, 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 I'm not allowed to think about these things. I must blindly just believe what I'm told. How will you ever know if what you're told has any snifter of truth unless you think about it, unless you ponder it, unless you consider? God's given us a way to know the truth. There's other MP3s where I've talked about how this is done. I'll refer you to those. But we need to question. And it's all right to question God. But the whole point is to question Him, not to sit there and try to dicker with Him, which is what most Kriyas would probably end up doing if they actually had a face-to-face meeting with God, which they say is another impossible thing, even though the scriptures clearly divide the Old Testament. Clearly gives indication that Abraham saw God, Moses saw God, several people saw God. And it's just fluffed up. Well, you know, it's the common rant of creedists when presented with this. Well, that's figurative. They just say that when they actually mean something else. Well, then why are we trusting these people if they can't come out and just straightly say what they mean? Even Isaiah is difficult to understand because he uses terminology and he uses imagery that we're not accustomed to as, like, say, Westerners. Jews do a much better job on it, and after study we can get it too. It's not difficult. Well, no, I have to say it is difficult, but you have to be able to open up your mind to it a little bit. But yes, there's a whole lot of things that just get rejected. And over time, let me tell you, I'll be honest, the Bible was in the hands of the Catholic Church for hundreds, well, let's talk more about thousands, it was over 1,000 years that it was in the hands of the Catholic Church. Catholic Church didn't want people to have it. One of the main pillars of the Reformation was that people should be able to actually read the Scripture. The Catholic Church considered that the ultimate blasphemy. People weren't supposed to know that stuff. It was beyond the comprehension of the common man. Most priests weren't allowed to study the Scripture for the simple reason that it takes a great deal of knowledge and understanding to comprehend this. It says, and guess what? That's institutionalism. That's saying you can't have something because it's too hard for you. We'll find people that can understand it, and they will interpret it for you so that you can understand it. And they set up an institution to help you do that. And you, if you have any interest in God, it's all in the institution. And that's the biggest reason for the Reformation. The Reformation, my own church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, wouldn't have even existed, I think, if the Reformation hadn't come first, if people wouldn't have questioned the Church, which was the Roman Catholic Church, if they wouldn't have questioned that, nothing else would have happened. We would have all still been basically tied in with that. Most of the creedists, when you say you're in the Protestant Church or you're in one of those, most, I would have to say almost every single other Christian church, I consider a creedist church, because to some degree or another, they adhere to a Catholic creed. It depends on how far back you go as to which creed you believe in. Most of them, almost all of them, can trace themselves back to the Nicene Creed, the first one that was actually produced in the 4th century. And it was mostly just a conglomeration of the beliefs up until that time. And it was only lightly based upon the Bible. There was much more philosophy to it than theology. And it was much more having to deal with how do you take a whole bunch of essentially pagans and how do you integrate these pagans in with this Christian church. It was mostly an effort to try to bring unity between Christianity and paganism. That's why most of the Christian holidays are actually timed to coincide with pagan holidays, because that was who they were bringing in. They had to kind of take the place of it. The whole concept, I think, of conversion was totally lost to them. Anyway, oh, we're over time. We'll come back to this and we'll talk about this some more. This is Quasi-Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Namro. Look for us on the web at quix.us.